Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Allen. And I do not only need your prayers, I solicit your prayers. And I'm always nervous when I preach. And I know I probably have no reason to be nervous here among such beautiful friends, but I'm still nervous. And I appreciate your prayers and your thoughts as I give this sermon, that it might be that which the Lord would have me to give. And I believe he has brought these thoughts onto my mind. And sister, I thank you for that beautiful song. Beautiful words put to song, and he does indeed live. And because of that, we have our hope in him. And I appreciate that reminder this morning. I kind of have a title to my sermon this morning. First of all, good morning. It's good to be here. We always enjoy coming to Collins, and I feel thankful to be here, to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I've titled this sermon. It's kind of all over the place in some ways, but I've titled it, "Is Your Way of Thinking the Same as God's?" Is your way of thinking the same as God's? To start out, I've got a few no-brainer observations to make. You know, the world, and we've talked about this in Sunday school, the world as a whole nowadays is descending into chaos. This nation that we live in and that we love so much is in trouble. And we all know this nation is in trouble. Closer to home for all of us, the Church of Christ currently has divisions in it, some serious problems within the church. I don't think that's a mystery to anybody. Most of our families, many, if not most of our families in the church, are struggling with spiritual issues. You know, some might say that Church of Christ families shouldn't have spiritual issues, but of course we know that that's not true. And if anything, the evil one works a little harder on those of us, not just in the church, but anywhere in the world. Those that strive to follow Christ will have the evil one nipping at their heels, so to speak. So I guess my question is, with all these issues before us, how are you doing these days? How are each of you doing? Is your way of thinking the same as God's? You know, there's a sort of a humorous saying that I've heard before, and it's kind of a prideful thing, I guess, to put out there, but it's sort of humorous, and it kind of illustrates how we think differently as people, not just in the church, but anywhere. And the saying goes, you know, for those of you who think you know everything are very annoying to those of us who do. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's kind of a smart aleck way to put something. But, you know, sometimes when we disagree among ourselves, we don't always do it with meekness and with understanding, as we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we get contentious and anger enters in and things like that that shouldn't be there. I'd like, with that in mind, I'd like to start out in Isaiah, and all the scriptures that I will read today are going to be those you've heard many times, I'm sure. I'm going to start with Isaiah 55, and you probably know where I'm going, and you probably knew this was coming. Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read just verses 6 through 11, Isaiah 55. Starting with verse 6. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I don't think we should be surprised that the Lord tells us very clearly, with no mistakes, that his way of thinking, his ways are not our ways, and that his ways are higher than our ways. You know, the Lord has always given us commandments and direction for our own good, but how often we go our own way. We go our own way either thinking that we are doing God's will or maybe thinking that maybe we can improve a little on what he has given us. Isn't that the human way of thinking, that maybe we can make it a little better than what he's given? I'd like to go to Jeremiah in the sixth chapter. Jeremiah chapter 6, starting with verse 16 through 19. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. I don't think that we have rejected the Lord's word or his law in the church. I don't know of any open rebellion in the church, but I do know that among some of us there are hardened hearts, there's pride, there's discouragement, there's unbelief, certainly there is worldliness, and among some of us a belief in the correctness of our own wisdom. There's pride. We have pride. I know that not everybody is prideful. I think we all have to deal with pride to a greater or lesser extent in our lives. But some are quite prideful. I'd like to read a few excerpts from Brother Jay Mosier. Wrote an article in the last Hand of Fellowship, and some of you probably have read this already. I'm not going to read his whole article. It's called Worship God Alone. That doesn't mean to worship God all by yourself, but worship him alone and none else. In Proverbs, I'm not going to turn to it, but in Proverbs the 14th chapter, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isn't that true? There's ways that seem right to us, but they're not always God's ways. Sometimes they are. Sometimes the things we do and the things we believe are God's ways, but sometimes they're our own prideful ways, the things that we think are right or the things that we want to do. I'm going to read just a few sentences from what Brother Mosier wrote in his article in the Hand of Fellowship. He starts out by saying, it doesn't start out, but it's in this paragraph. Why do those who serve God end up frustrated? The answer is they have sought things from their own minds. They have transposed their own desires into the ideas of God. They want their own will and can't believe that will may not be God's will. They believe their will is good. And we sang a song this morning, Where Wilt Thou Put Thy Trust? And I think that song goes along with very well with what Brother Jay is saying. You know, do we put our trust in our own wisdom, our own abilities, or the abilities of man, or the experts, or do we put our trust in God? Brother Jay says the answer is to return to God with all your heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13 partially says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." With all your heart. Down in the next paragraph, Brother Jay says, "God has always been interested in what comes from the heart, or what resides there, sometimes unseen by others. It is not enough to simply want something that is good." Our hearts have to be right in the sight of God. You know, as that song says, where will we put our trust? You know, why in the world would we trust in our own wisdom or in the wisdom of the learned men of this world? Why would we trust in those things when we humans make such a mess of things? And the scriptures give example after example of how the precepts of man come to naught when we go about our own prideful way and thinking we have the answers, how those things come to naught. And I think it's due to pride. And that seems to be one of the greatest afflictions that man has, is his pride, thinking that we know better, or that we know what is right. Our brother Donnie Case I've heard him give at least a couple of testimonies where the Lord had to humble him in difficult ways because of his pride. Brother Donnie didn't think he was prideful, but he was. And the Lord had to humble him in ways where he nearly came to destruction, either in near terrible accidents or whatever. And the Lord told him that he was not humble. The Lord told him he was not teachable. I can't imagine someone that thinks that they're doing the Lord's will being told by the Lord that they're not teachable. That would be a terribly hard thing to accept or to deal with. But he had to deal with that. And I assume that it's something that he and probably all of us continue to deal with is, are we teachable? Let's go in the Book of Mormon to Mosiah. Mosiah chapter 2. This is on page 220. And again, very, very familiar scriptures. On page 220, Mosiah chapter 2. I'm going to start reading verses 13 through 17. And these tell us very, very plainly where God's place is and where our place is, starting with verse 13. "Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend, and again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, see that ye do them. I'm going to skip over to verse 20. Down to verse 20. Even so, I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness and his goodness and long-suffering towards, I'm going to change the word you into us, towards us unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due. Again, talking about how we compare to God, and it talks about his greatness and our nothingness. A similar thought is found in Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And the third verse is the, I think, is one of the important ones. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We were just told in Mosiah that we should retain in remembrance our own nothingness. And we're told here that when we think otherwise, when we think ourselves to be something, when we are nothing, we deceive ourselves. And why is that? It's because of our pride, isn't it? We think we're something because of our pride. We think we're intelligent. We think we have answers. And if we don't approach others, and if we don't approach the Lord in the spirit of meekness, our pride always gets in the way. We talked this morning in Sunday school about the scriptures, and how the scriptures have the answers that we need for our lives and for how to conduct our lives. But we have to be careful that we read the scriptures carefully and in a studious way and prayerfully. We're commanded by the Lord to search the scriptures, and that's found in the fifth chapter of John, verse 39. Search the scriptures. So why is it that different people can come up with such different opinions of what a particular scripture means? You know, we're searching the scriptures and we all read the same scripture. Why do we come up with different opinions of what that scripture means? I think this seems to be more true probably of Bible scriptures than a Book of Mormon scriptures. I guess, you know, one of the purposes of the Book of Mormon was to make plain some of those things that were not so plain in the Bible, that perhaps had been tampered with or changed. But in our human way of thinking, you know, we can wrest the scriptures. We can pervert the scriptures. And we can do this. This can be done, you know, either innocently or on purpose. And shame on us if it's done on purpose. I'm going to go back to the Book of Mormon on page 350. This is Alma chapter 10. This is Alma speaking, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 17 on page 350. Alma says, "Behold, the scriptures are before you. If ye will wrest them, it shall be to your own destruction." I looked up the word wrest. I thought I knew what it meant, but I thought I'd look it up in the dictionary. And it talks about to distort or pervert, or the meaning that the definition that I like says to turn from the proper meaning. To wrest something means to turn it from the proper meaning. And I know sometimes this is done innocently. Sometimes if it's done on purpose, it's to our own destruction. I'm going to go to the Bible now in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 14. This is Paul speaking to his young brother in the faith, Timothy. And in starting in verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Well, we hear people say that nobody's perfect. God says we're supposed to be perfect, doesn't he? Sometimes I'm not sure how we accomplish that, but I think I'm glad we have the avenue of repentance and forgiveness. That in the end, perhaps we might be perfect if we endure to the end. I'm going to go over to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses, starting with verse 19 through 21. Starting with verse 19 on chapter 1 of 2 Peter. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The prophecy of Scripture did not come by the will of man. It came by God. As they were moved by it came by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we know that God doesn't change. God does not change. So if we have Scripture today, we know that it'll come by revelation through God. I'm going to go back to the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, on page 710, page 710. Excuse me. I think I'm not quite over what I had last week. I hope my voice lasts. On page 710, I'm going to read verses 66 through 69. This is chapter 4, I'm sorry. Chapter 4 of the Book of Mormon. Starting with verse 66. And again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourselves of a God which doth vary, and in him there is shadow of changing, then have ye imagined up unto yourselves a God which is not a God of miracles. We know that the Lord does not change. And if we deny these things, if we deny the gifts of revelation, among other gifts, we do not know the gospel of Christ. And if we have read the scriptures about these things, we do not understand them. Perhaps we have wrested the scriptures, or somebody on one of those radio preachers or the TV preachers has wrested the scriptures and changed their meaning to what they believe. So it appears that any wresting of the scriptures is mostly driven by our own unbelief. If we wrest the scriptures, it means that we can't accept that the scriptures would go contrary to our own will and our own desires. So if we feel that way, then we interpret the scriptures in a way that is in agreement with our firmly held human precepts. And I think we know people that way, that believe in their own opinions. They believe things that they think are good, as Brother Jay mentioned in his article. But we can't agree. I mean, we can't, if we feel that way, if we're so stuck in our own beliefs and opinions, we could never believe that the scriptures would say something else, or that the Lord might say something else, because of the way that we interpret the scriptures. It's a terrible, prideful thing to think that the Lord would not say or think or cause to be written anything that is contrary to what we believe to be true and good. This has to be a terrible wake-up call for some people, or perhaps some will never wake up from that way of thinking. I'm going to go to Moroni. More pages back. This is in Moroni chapter 10. Moroni chapter 10 on page 776. 776. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 on page 776. Verse 13. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And that all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, If ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh, that the power and gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. I don't believe that there's anywhere near that level of unbelief in the church, but it shows what would happen if we were all full of unbelief, that these gifts that the Lord has given us would be done away with. Some people say nowadays that they don't see the gifts in the church as often as in times past, and that may be true. And maybe there is some something to the idea that there is greater unbelief in the church than what there used to be. I don't know. But Lord, have mercy upon us if we all fall into unbelief and these gifts are done away. I'd like to go to 2 Nephi chapter 12 on page 155. On page 155, 2 Nephi chapter 12, I'm just going to read verses 37 through 39. Starting with verse 37. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts, and lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. For unto him that receiveth I will give more, and them that shall say, We have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, maybe that's why, as Brother Allen was telling us in Sunday school this morning, why some of the radio preachers or some of the TV preachers seem to be so off the beam. Some have been resting the scriptures and preaching the precepts of man so long that they've lost whatever truth they might have once had. And the Lord will do that if we're full of unbelief or if we start resting the scriptures and interpreting them in our own way rather than as they're written. The Lord will, we will lose what we once had. And so that's why it's so important to read the scriptures studiously and prayerfully, that we receive the true meaning of them. The Lord commands that we of His church be united. Sad to say, as I look at His church, as I look at the Church of Christ today, I see some divisions. I see some divisions, I see some contentions, and we know there's several places in the Book of Mormon where it says plainly that these things ought not to be. These things ought not to be. One of the revelations in the Book of Commandments, I believe it's in the 20th chapter, but I can't say for sure. One of those revelations, the Lord says, I say unto you, be one. Be one. And if ye are not one, ye are not mine. You know, we talked about some in Sunday school this morning about God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ being one. And if nothing else, we can agree upon that they are definitely one in purpose. The Lord Jesus Christ, did nothing without it came from his Father. And it's the same way that the Lord commands the church. We are to be one. He looks at the restoration and sees what the restoration has become. We've become a bunch of ites, you know. We're the Hedrickites. There's the Brighamites out in Utah. There's the Josephites. There's the Bickertonites. There's the Strangites. There's the Cutlerites, and on and on. The Lord never meant for that to be. I believe that he will find a way to bring the honest in heart together of all these ites that exist today. But he commands that his church be one. And I think that's something that our pride has gotten in the way of, and we've kind of dropped the ball on that in recent years. You know, the Lord will not continue to bless his people if we continue in our contentious and divided state. Our complete trust must be in the Lord, and we need to yield up our wills to his. You know, we sang that song this morning, "Where Wilt Thou Put Your Trust?" Our complete trust, especially in these days in which we live in, our complete trust has to be in the Lord. Where could we possibly put any other trust? I don't have any trust in Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. One of them is going to be the president of this country, I guess. But, you know, we have to put our trust in the Lord and yield up our wills to his. And he will have a way of bringing this nation, his nation, his land back to him. I'm going to go to Mosiah chapter 1 on page 218. Mosiah chapter 1. And I'm going to read a couple of real familiar verses. Verses 119 and 120. 119. "For the natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever." That next verse, 120, says, "But if he yieldeth." I like the alternative wording that's given right next to that, in the whatever you call it there, the next to the verse. "But unless is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever, unless he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." He will only accept those that becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love. I don't see the word pride in there anywhere. I don't see the word contentious. I don't see the word angry. "Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." We need to submit and to yield our wills up to our Lord and Savior. Finally, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning also, we must be a believing people. We can't be full of unbelief if we're to be the Lord's. He commands us to be a believing people. I'm going to close with a couple of scriptures. One is in Jacob, the third chapter on page 176. Excuse me. Page 176, Jacob chapter 3. verses 9 through 16. Starting with verse 9. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him. And it is impossible that man should find out all His ways. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. We can't know everything. We can't know everything of the mysteries of God. And it's impossible that we will find out all His ways, at least in this life. And no man knoweth of His ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. Despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of His word, man came upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of His word. Wherefore, if God, being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, O then, why not able to command the earth, or the workmanship of His hands upon the face of it, according to His will and pleasure? Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from His hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that He counseleth in wisdom, and in justice, and in great mercy over all His works. Wherefore, beloved brethren, be reconciled unto Him through the atonement of Christ, His only begotten Son. We need to repent and to return to the Lord. And we need to put our trust in man's, not in man's wisdom, but the Lord's wisdom. We cannot know everything, but we're not to deny His revelations either. Some of the churches of the world, perhaps some that are on the radio or on the TV, don't believe in continuous revelation. They don't believe that the Lord continues to reveal Himself to man in our day. They believe He has done His work. We don't believe that way in the Church of Christ. We don't deny His revelations. We're not to despise the revelations of God. But we know that some do. I'm going to go to Mormon chapter 4 again, back on page 712. Mormon chapter 4, on page 712, I'd like to read verses 89 through 93. 89 through 93. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny His sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye that are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. O then, despise not, and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing. And begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Be a believing people. As Brother Jay said, as he quoted Jeremiah 29 verse 13, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Not with your mind, not with your own human thinking, but search for me in the Scriptures and in your prayers with all your heart. We need to look for the Lord's will and not look to try to make His will into ours. He's cautioned us again and again against doing that. I'm just gonna reread verses 14 and 15 from Mosiah chapter 2. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for once again inviting us down here to your group of people in your house. And I pray it will not be long before we are here once again. And I thank you again, and may God be with us all in the days ahead.
Oh, excuse me.